All right, on this Thursday morning, as we broadcast from the Grand Hotel, and it's not just sitting on the porch staring out at the Straits, although it sure would be nice to do here. It's a busy, busy place for people like our 10th District U.S. Representative Paul Mitchell. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning.
You were telling me about your schedule yesterday.
Oh, pretty busy. I didn't get much time to stare at the Straits, and shock of all shocks, back home it's raining again.
Imagine, yeah, yeah. So much rain.
It's easy to forecast there. Rain,
yeah,
more
that's
rain.
Pretty much it. That's pretty much it. Take at least a minute, though, to just look out there. This is such a beautiful place to be.
Oh, Mackinac Island's a gem. The Grand Hotel is
it's
300th year. I mean, just the history here is cool, too. So it's a wonderful place to visit for a few days, even if you run around or start your day at 4 o'clock in the morning, as you do.
Yeah, we start a little early, that's for sure. Want to jump right into it. You have a piece in the Detroit News today, you and other congressmen from Michigan, saying it's time to replace NAFTA, time to institute the USMCA.
Well, you know, you recall as when I ran for office, I said NAFTA was outmoded and needed to be replaced. My dad was a UAW worker, built trucks on the line. He lost his job when his plant closed. Foreign competition has really done some damage to American manufacturing. The rules of the road need to be updated so that, in fact, our businesses, our workers can be competitive. USMCA does that. Almost every avenue makes labor rules in Mexico stronger, wages higher in Mexico, which makes our folks more competitive, improves environmental laws, helps our ag community, dealing with some issues we have with milk prices in Canada and how they do the milk products over there. So almost any way you look at it, USMCA is better than NAFTA. And there's one more thing I think is important. It has a provision that every 5 years you can reopen it to renegotiate or deal with problems. And the idea that you do a trade agreement or any agreement for a lifetime is amazing to me, and that's what NAFTA was. Right. Things change over time, and we need to be prepared to address them in some orderly manner, not in some conflict, which is unfortunately where we're at. We've been.
Yeah. What about trade with China? That's getting to be...
that's going to be testy.
Very testy.
I met with the trade negotiator, Lighthizer Mahoney, about a week ago, shortly after the president signed up the tariffs. They had a draft agreement that supposedly Xi had agreed to. We saw a lot of things in the media about it. There's not one page of that agreement the Chinese didn't give back with major modifications, major edits. They were backing away from the commitments they made. Word has it that Xi was getting a lot of pushback in China, that he was giving up too much. And he decided, I think, frankly, to wait to see if he gets a more amenable president in 2020. So we may not have an agreement with China until after the 2020 elections, which is unfortunate. It's time for them to step up and do the right thing here, too. They're no longer a developing nation. They're a trade competitor of ours.
Right. Infrastructure has been the hot topic up here on Mackinac.
Everywhere.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. Fix the damn road, said the governor a year ago up here, and it is still saying that. There was some thought that maybe help would be coming at the federal level. President last week said he's not going to work with Democrats on infrastructure. What do you think? What's going to happen in the House and the Senate?
Well, short term, I'd be honest with you, I don't think much is going to happen short term, other than maybe we'll reauthorize what's called surface transportation. Reauthorize some of the federal roads programs, which is, frankly, wholly inadequate. I'm working on some people call it a white paper, discussion paper, to change the discussion around infrastructure. I serve on that committee, as you know, transportation infrastructure, and we need to revamp how we address this. All these silos, we have a road program, we have this, leaves out so many things. Rural broadband leaves out environmental issues like waterways, freshwater, wastewater. We need something that will provide adequate federal funding, will require a match of state and local money, that will put an influx of money as well as a structure. In my opinion, we do block grants to states and let them decide what their priorities are. Lord knows, rather, federal bureaucrats and members of Congress fight about them because we're not getting what we need at the local levels.
Right, right. Robert Mueller spoke yesterday, said let my report speak for itself.
Yep.
He's done. He's going home. He does not exonerate the president. He doesn't charge him. Do you think that Mueller should testify before Congress?
I don't think he should at this point in time. I think he said he's not going to, so at that point in time, what are we gaining by trying to force him to? I think we have to remember the role of a prosecutor, even a special prosecutor, was to determine whether or not crimes have been committed and who's responsible for them. Prosecutors don't exonerate people. That's not their role. It's unfortunate that he's taken to that language, and I don't know why he would other than his opinion of what should happen. But I've got an awful lot of people telling me, and I believe it's time to move on and deal with the legislative things we need to do. You mentioned infrastructure, prescription drug prices. We can go through immigration issues we have. We need to address those. And a couple people said, you know, well, we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think Congress, long before I got there, demonstrated that's not true. We're lucky to be able to walk. Yeah. So I think we need to get focused on getting things done that make a difference for American people, and continuing all the investigations, all the distraction just simply doesn't solve the problem.
You mentioned immigration. I want to talk a little bit about that, because sure. That has also taken up a lot of conversation. What's the solution at the southern border?
I think the solution at the southern border is we have to get our immigration laws in order. Yeah. That means we need to address terms of asylum. The president proposed that we actually put asylum opportunities in home countries like Guatemala and that type of thing. They can apply there. They get assistance in applying for asylum. We actually adjudicate them there. We expedite adjudication of them so that people aren't traversing Mexico, all Central America, and coming to the United States. Doctors Without Borders provide data said about a third of the women that make that trip are sexually assaulted. We have, last year, there were about 900, a little over 900 people that were coming to the country that were stopped. They tested for DNA, and the minor child that was with them was not biologically related. Now, you can decide what that means, but I don't think it's a good thing. So we need to deal with the asylum issue, what the terms of asylum are. We also need to deal with our immigration so that we don't simply have what's called chain migration, which is you're a relative of somebody, and actually start to assess who can fit into our country in terms of skill sets. We need to modify that. We're the only country that doesn't, developed country, that doesn't have some version of migration that includes that as a major criteria.
Do you think that there is a chance of getting some change in immigration law?
I'd like to be more optimistic with you, but unfortunately, the 2020 election, the presidential election, when the first person announced in February, the first candidate of the Democratic Party, the world stopped, and now, unfortunately, it's all about an election. That's too bad. It's not why I ran for Congress. As you know, I was in 35 years in private business. Getting things done mattered. It ought to in Congress. And I think we need to put people over politics for a while. I'd like to be more optimistic, but I haven't seen that willingness to do that. And there's plenty of time for election. We ought to have that.
It's got to be frustrating. And, you know, it's funny because talking to Candace Miller, we're going to have her on tomorrow, but when she was representing the 10th District, same thing. She was always, and I think that's one of the reasons she's not there anymore, very frustrated with the lack of progress that's made, with all the partisan bickering that goes on. And I realize, because I know you're going to say this, because every time that I bring up partisanship, you say, we do a lot of bipartisan things, and that's true. But like you said, we're paralyzed now. You're paralyzed for the next 2 years. That's got to be terribly frustrating.
Oh, it is frustrating. And I had breakfast with Candace yesterday, and we talked about it. And she thinks it's unfortunately gotten worse, and that's not a good thing. I think there's cycles that go on. At least I'm optimistic that we will move beyond this and recognize that the American people need things done. They need to insist that people get things done. There are a lot of bipartisan things that still can be done.
Yeah.
All but one of my bills I propose are bipartisan. I dropped a bill last week called the Builds Act, which is to provide training for individuals to fill skill needs in infrastructure. We have a huge shortage of the people that have the skill set. Even if we put more money in infrastructure, they can't do it. To allow for partnerships between business and labor, businesses to partner, to partner with their money, with federal money, to train people in the skills that we need to upgrade our infrastructure.
Yeah.
It's a massive need, and it's a bipartisan bill. We need to start to move some of these in the near future if this country is going to get in better shape.
Yeah, you're right. It's an interesting time, really. It's got to be a fascinating time to serve in Congress, because as frustrating as a lot of what we've talked about is, there's a lot of, I mean, I feel like we're, you know, moving toward this new world when it comes to infrastructure. Like you said, there's, you know, so much opportunity. All these jobs that need to be filled. We need to teach people how to do the jobs that need to be done.
Well, and the other thing that's happening that kind of gets lost in the noise is I also serve at House Armed Services Committee, and the things you read about the cyber threats and the other things, they're real.
Yeah.
The questions that people have is there an issue with Iran real? I can't get into the details. I did get an intelligence briefing in a classified setting, and Iran is conducting themselves in some ways that are clearly a problem, and we need to make sure there's no misunderstanding. That they cross the line, and we will respond, because lack of understanding runs some real risks that people do things that don't ultimately escalate very quickly.
Yeah.
So those are the things that are lost, because we're so busy trying to impeach somebody, trying to call each other names that we miss some real threats to our nation or some damage it's doing to our country.
Yeah, got to keep the eye on the ball. Another full day of meetings today?
Another full day of meetings. We have a panel today talking about a bipartisan activity with Senators Stabenow, Peters, Jack Bergman, the congressman from this area up here, and myself. That's at 11. We'll do that. They've encouraged us to... we'll be cordial.
Hold hands and sing Kumbaya.
If it would get it done, I'd sing Kumbaya. I'm sure people say, please don't do it, but I'd sing it. Actually, I have sung on the floor of the House, by the way, recently.
Oh, really?
It was fun. It got people kind of surprised.
Is that on YouTube? Can I find that?
You can find it on YouTube. I was told it was pretty good, but then someone said it was a little out of key. I don't know. I used to sing in choirs. I haven't practiced much. But it kind of changes things up a bit.
Baritone, right?
Yeah, baritone.
Okay, very good. Congressman, thanks for stopping by. I really appreciate
it. Oh, it's really good. Always good to see you. All right. Enjoy Mackinac if you can.
Not a bad place to
be.
No,
not bad. Thanks very much.
Congressman Paul Mitchell with us on WPHM 723 as we continue our broadcast from the Grand Hotel at the Detroit Regional Chamber Mackinac Policy Conference on WPHM.